Well, church, we have had the privilege and the honor of having several godly men who are passionate about his word to come and share their gifts with us through the proclaiming of God's word. And so God has blessed us again with another godly man to come and share his gifts with us. That man is Kevin Grifthorst. He is the director of Pine Ridge Bible Camp. So can we just give him a round of applause as a thank you for coming this morning?
Good morning. As I've said other times I've visited in past years, it is always good to be home. Some things never change. I recognize a lot of you, and even where you like to sit. But Granville has changed. You even have a castle now. That's amazing. I'm still kind of a bulldog at heart. I felt a little bit of pain when the dogs lost to East Kentwood the other night. But I'm starting to become more of a Red Hawk. That's Cedar Springs. That's where Pine Ridge is. My kids are very involved. And they have a really good football team. But I know Granville does too. It's good to be here. My family is not here. I'm here on my own today. My wife and I were pretty heavily committed up at our church, First Baptist of Cedar Springs. We lead the music there. So when we go on vacation, obviously we both can't be there. But when there's things like this that come up, it's hard for us both to get away. The resources behind us are rather slim, so when I'm gone, it's good to still have her there to help that team with the music. But I'd like to show you my family, since they're not here. It's been a few years since some of you have seen them. Jaden, yes, there we go, got the picture up there. This was taken this summer out at Lake Michigan. Jaden's our 16-year-old, and he loves to play the tuba, and he's very good in school. And he has hopes and dreams. I don't know why, but he'd like to go to the University of Michigan. So that's a good thing in my estimation. Chloe, our 14-year-old, she's our basketball player. She loves basketball and is doing quite well at that. She does really well in school as well, but she just doesn't have quite the drive to excel there like Jayden does, but she does very well. And then Levi, our 12-year-old, he's our football player. I watched him play yesterday. He's a running back, and every opportunity he can, he talks to me about football. And I know he'll do that some more today because I got him into fantasy football this year, and it kind of consumes him sometimes, but we enjoy that. And then Ella is our youngest. She is 10, and she's our soccer player, and she enjoys that as well as many other things. So family is good. Some of you, of course, know my mom and dad. Mom passed away many years ago, but dad is doing well, and I will give him your greetings to him. So good to be here. Good to be able to share a report on what happened at Pine Ridge this year. And we're thankful. We're thankful for your continued involvement, which I know includes prayers, financial support for our family at Pine Ridge, and also folks that come up and help. The Breens have been up this year helping. Evelyn Adams came and worked on our high school kitchen crew this summer, and that was good. And others have come and helped as well over the years. For that, we're very grateful. This year had its challenges. Every year is a little different and has its own distinct mark of what I remember and recall. This was a season definitely of challenges. In fact, I talked to my summer staff frequently as we got into the summer saying, we're in the middle of spiritual warfare here, folks, and we got to pray. We need to pray because we're facing some things that are challenging. And the good part of that is that what we were facing, what I was facing in particular, the campers often didn't know about it. It was things kind of behind the scenes. And so the campers were doing great for the most part, and we saw God's work and many decisions in their lives as a result. But that spiritual warfare was very real. I'm going to kind of speed through some of this so I can get through everything I'd hope to this morning. But some of the things that we found challenging were the Chinese program that we've had for many years, five, I think, or so. We've had a group of students come from Beijing, China, And that was totally a thing that God put together. But it fell apart this year. And it fell apart for some reasons that were very sad to me. It was due to some local conflict that related to some people that we were partnering with and some things that actually developed in our public school system. So it was amazing how something that was happening in our public school system was affecting a ministry that Pine Ridge was having internationally. But that's what happened. So we know that God put that together. We trust him that he has a plan within that too. Then another thing that made it challenging was just a month before summer camp started, early May, I was informed by my program director, and he was married to our cook, that they were going to be leaving and heading up to another camp ministry. And so the timing of that was not ideal, and I knew it might be a struggle. It caused us to be shorthanded in some ways for our summer. We're still shorthanded, but we praise God that in the middle of the summer, after we kind of things got settled in, we were able to pursue that job opening that we had, and we have offered the job. His name is David Frazier. He comes, he had his studies out at Word of Life, and he's out in the Pennsylvania area right now. So we're praying that David and his wife, Michelle, would be able to join us soon, because we have a big need for them to join us right now as we are into our fall ministries and preparing already for next season. So if you could add that to your prayer list, David and Michelle Frazier, as they sell their home out in Pennsylvania and then raise their support as well to join our team, we would greatly appreciate that. Another challenge, and this is a challenge that we've had over the years at some points, but it's really manifested itself in bigger ways recently, is once again we struggled to find all the help we needed in with our male cabin leaders. And so we did hire enough that covered our needs for the early part of the summer, and then when we got to some of our bigger weeks, we saw God's provision on a week-to-week basis for those needs that we had, and we had some young men that came in just for a week or two. We're very thankful for that. But as a camp director, that causes a little bit of stress when you're thinking, I've got these kids coming. Lord, how are you going to provide? Am I going to end up sleeping in the cabin? I don't know. But it was a challenge. We also had more equipment breakdowns than I can ever remember. We had a couple power outages. One of the power outages caused me to cancel the start of a camp, because I had special needs campers coming in, and when you don't have power, you can't feed them well, you can't run the water, which means restrooms, and so not having power on a Monday morning when campers were supposed to be checking in, I made a very late decision based on the information I had to say, we can't take campers this morning. We got to start calling, and sometimes for some of them that had already left, I had to be at the driveway saying, sorry, we don't know when we can start camp. Now, we were able to start a couple hours later. Then we had to get on the phone again, call everyone back, and say, okay, we're ready now. But it was a challenge, something that I've never faced before. I've been camp director for 17 to 18 years now, and there's times where I'm like, okay, I've seen every challenge there is possible. And then I'm always quickly reminded, no, there's something new out there that I've never had to face before. This was one of those things. On top of the power outages, guess what we found out? Our generator for our main retreat center and dining hall and kitchen didn't work either. It had an issue. So that was on top of that. On top of the power outage and the generator not working, we also had a water bacteria test fail. And when you fail a test like that with the health department and water standards today, that means a lot of extra testing and figuring out why the test failed. And so we had to not let everyone use our water for drinking. We had to go to the store and buy water. And so again, the campers didn't know a lot of this other than like, well, we have to drink water out of a jug instead of going to the, but it was a lot of stress and challenge for a camp director to deal with all this and some of it on top of each other. And then one of the last challenges I'll just mention was that our summer program director, we put someone into place to fill the need of our program director leaving. We had someone who's a teacher in Cedar Springs that just filled in for the summer, did a great job. But then she had some of her own health issues and had to have a almost an emergency hysterectomy in the middle of our summer, and so this replacement was even out for different lengths of time during our summertime. So lots of challenges. But in the midst of that, as I shared already, we saw God at work. And we had more spiritual decisions and more depth, I think, to some of those decisions than what I've seen in a few years now. And so we praise the Lord for that. We, our staff has recorded that we had 97 salvations of campers this summer. 60 some of those were what I'd say was a first-time decision to place their faith in Jesus Christ. And then another 20 to 30 of those were kids that said, I need to recommit myself to living for Jesus. So we rejoice in that. We saw 107 kids tell us that they wanted to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, which I find that phenomenal because we really don't focus on something like baptism in a week of summer camp, but it's just the Lord working in these hearts to say, I want us to take a step of obedience, and this is what it's going to be. We saw 194 kids tell us that they wanted to do their devotions on a daily basis, and so we rejoice in that. 76 say they wanted to attend church. Now, for kids, that's a great thing, but the challenge for them is just because they want to go to church doesn't mean their parents want to take them to church. So we try to connect them as much as possible. That can be something that's a challenge for them to do. And then this is a small number, but as you might expect, when you say, I'm going to give my life in service to the Lord, whatever that might be, and sometimes that might be as a missionary, as a pastor, something of that nature. So we saw four kids that said they wanted to serve the Lord in some manner like that. So we rejoice in all that. Of course, amongst all these numbers that I'm sharing, there are stories behind each and every one of them. One of the things I love as a camp director is on Saturday mornings after our campers have left, we gather together as a team and we share the stories. And I wish you could be there to hear that time that we have together, just praising the Lord for his work in the lives of these kids. I'm going to share a story or two here. One of the cabin leaders shared that her camper had been taken away from her parents. And I don't know all the details behind why that happened. But she was fearful each night that her dad would come to camp and kill her. And this was real. She was crying about this every night. The cabin leader had to deal with it. Some stories were shared, horrific stories, like her dad putting cigarettes in her mouth when she was a young girl. But this girl placed her faith in Christ, and the cabin leaders were just in awe at how much, even in spite of all the hard, difficult things that she had gone through, how much she had a desire to help others. And they were just kind of blown away by her attitude and her character there. Another young lady came out on a Monday night, our first night of camp, and she was weeping too. And the cabin leader, late at night, after all the girls had been put into bed, the cabin leader had stepped out of the cabin and was just sitting there. And this girl came out of the cabin and she was crying. And she was asked, why are you crying? And she said, well, I just don't want to go home. Now, she's just been here for less than a day. But she was from a big family, and trust me, I'm not trying to disparage big families when I say this, but she was from a big family, and she felt like she just wasn't getting any attention, basically, that she was being ignored at home. She talked for a little bit, she continued to cry, and then suddenly she stood up and she said, you guys love us so much, and she said, I think I want to be saved. And it just came out of the blue that this is what she wanted to do. So she took that step that night, but each night after that, she continued to cry some, saying, I don't want to go home. I just want to stay here at camp. And later in the week, she made a statement. She said, will you guys promise me you will keep praying for me? Yeah, we will. And we trust others will as well. I'll share one final story. Three young boys came to camp without a Bible. And that happens quite a bit, kids that come without a Bible. And, of course, we give them a Bible to take home. They were gifted one Bible, and they wanted to read their Bible a lot, even at times when they should have been paying attention, like in chapel. Now, reading your Bible in chapel is a good thing, but I think they were reading not what the speaker was talking on. So they were asked to pay attention a little bit. But the speaker, during one of these chapel times, was asking the kids, would you write on a piece of paper just something, put down something that keeps you from having a good relationship with God? And so from spending time with God, I think that's how it was worded. So the kids did that, and then the speaker gathered up these papers. Maybe you've seen or heard this before, and he burned the papers. And it was just this illustration of trying to put away the things that would keep us from spending time with God. Well, after this chapel, one of these little boys that had received a Bible from us, he was crying, and the cabin leader said, Dom, why are you crying? And the boy says, the speaker wants to burn my Pokemon cards. Not quite getting the whole illustration of what the point was, but he was very sad about that. So we rejoice in all of these. I could share so many other stories, but you'll have to call me sometime to get more of those. I want to just go into God's Word now, and perhaps we could just pray together as we open up God's Word, and I'll share with you a few things He's put on my heart and taught me through many years. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this time we can have together. I thank you for your word that we can open up together this morning and look at, and that we have a common bond in Jesus Christ that allows us to look at these words and to understand and know and follow in obedience to you. Lord, I just pray that your word would speak into our hearts and souls and minds this morning. And I thank you for these people that are learning and growing with me. And we pray this in your name. Amen. So I'm sharing this morning some verses that are my life verses. And they're verses that I know probably all of you are quite familiar with. They're in Proverbs 3. So if you want to turn in your copy of God's Word to Proverbs 3. I went to a Christian Camp and Conference Association conference a few years ago. And David Horsiger was there. I don't know if any of you have heard that name. But he's the author of The Trust Edge, How Top Leaders Gain Faster Results, Deeper Relationships, and a Stronger Bottom Line. Okay, so as a camp director, of course, my primary thing is heading up this organization. We are a ministry. We are a ministry reaching out to kids and families and special needs campers with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I'm also kind of running a business, and I have to do those business types of things too. So David was sharing about the Trust Edge, and he's had an opportunity to share with many of the top companies in the world, companies that you'd recognize like FedEx and Delta and IBM and Pfizer and Verizon and Toyota. David's had an opportunity to share with all these, and he's sharing to Christian camp directors now. He's talking about trust. And he claims that a lack of trust for an organization is our biggest expense. A lack of trust for any organization can be your biggest expense. It may take years for a manager or an executive to develop the trust of his or her employees, but only moments to lose that trust. Without trust, transactions cannot occur. Without trust, influence is destroyed. Without trust, leaders lose teams. Without trust, people lose sales. Without trust, organizations lose productivity, relationships, reputation, talent, customer loyalty, creativity, morale, revenue, and results. A lot hinges on the simple word trust. I believe what he says is right on. When I think about Pine Ridge, and some of you are parents with kids, will you choose to send your kids to Pine Ridge or any of the Christian camps that you might consider? Well, a big, big part of that decision is going to be based on, do you trust us? If you do, you might choose to send your kids to camp. If you don't, I guarantee you aren't going to send your kids. Trust matters. David, the author of Trust Edge, he is a believer. His principles that he's teaching to these top companies of the international companies of the world, they're just simple biblical truths that he's teaching them. He himself is probably making lots of money on what he's teaching, going to these large companies and consulting, but they're based, the truths and the things that he's teaching are based from God's word. Question for us to consider as we look at some of these verses, how would your life look different right now if you truly trusted God? That's the basis of our faith. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we say, I believe and I trust. But to truly move forward in that relationship, it's a trust relationship at its core. How would your life look different right now if you truly trusted God? Do you trust him with every single promise that we find in his word? I won't do this morning, but we could go through and talk about a lot of promises we see in God's word. Different people in the Bible are known for their trust. Abraham, for instance. Yet, he also failed in that. Think of when he got into some trouble, and he claimed his wife was his sister. That was a statement of a lack of trust in God caring for him and protecting them. Christians are called believers, but many times we are more like unbelieving believers. We trust our friends, the bank, the stock market, or even the government more than we trust God and his word. Trust is a choice, and it has benefits and consequences. These are my life verses. We'll look at these in just a second here. But part of my life story and growth came from a matter of trust. I remember as a young man, when I was here in this church as a high school student and up into college, I had some relationships with young ladies I was interested in, and different things transpired in a few of those relationships that broke my trust, and they hurt, and it caused me to struggle with life, because I got to the point where I said, I don't know how I can trust anyone. My trust in people has been destroyed. It's gone, and it paralyzed me. And the only way I was able to move beyond that is when I was driving home one day and I heard a sermon on Peter walking on the water. And it talked about his focus and how his eyes had left Jesus. And he was focused on the things happening around him. I thought, that's me. I've done that. And so I determined in my heart, I've got to put my focus back on Jesus. And through my focus on Jesus, through my trust in him, knowing that he cares for me and I can trust him, I'm able to trust others. And that's how I rebuilt my trust in others. Well, let's look at these verses, Proverbs 3, 5 through 12. We're going to go beyond the very familiar verses. My life verses are 5 and 6. Let's go beyond that a little bit. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Let's answer some basic questions as we consider the text this morning. Question one is, why? Why can I trust in God? Few thoughts for you this morning as we answer that question. One, he knows all, right? We call that omniscient. He knows all. Everything about me, everything about others, everything. That's important. Another thing to consider, he cares for me. So this all-knowing God that knows everything, he also cares so deeply and intimately about me. That's amazing. He cares about me more than anyone else. Consider this other passage that we find in Matthew 10. I think it's found in Luke as well, but Matthew 10, it says here, and this is when Jesus is talking to his disciples and saying, I'm going to send you out into this world. In fact, he says, he uses this language, I am sending you out like a sheep among wolves. That's dangerous, right? Sheep don't survive when you send them out to be among the wolves. And he's telling these men that have a desire to follow him. They want to learn from him. They're drawn to him. And he's saying, I'm going to send you out like sheep among wolves. But he continues, and I'm skipping a few verses here. He continues and says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. So you've got this God who's all-knowing. He knows the future. He knows what you're going through. He knows your hardest hardships that you're facing, the trials of life. Because that's when we find our trust challenged often, is when we find ourselves in the midst of some trial and difficulty. And we start to ask those why type of questions. Why me? Why am I going through this? Why is my family going through this? Why is someone I love going through this? And we find our trust challenged. We find our trust in God challenged when we're confronted with right and wrong choices. We find our trust challenged when we have an opportunity in front of us and we know that it's going to precipitate change in our life. Or something that we just don't want to go through. And we know, well, God's opened the door here, but I don't know if I want to step through that door. But Jesus tells these men, I'm going to send you out among sheep like wolves, but don't worry. I care about you, and I know everything. So we've got, he knows all, he cares for me, and then he's also all-powerful. That's another one of those omni words, right? Omnipotent. He's all-powerful. 2 Corinthians 12, we read, and this is the words of the Apostle Paul now, of course. He says, but he said to me, some of you know this, my grace is sufficient for you. For my, what? Power. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Wow. God is all powerful. And you know what? As sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit, God himself, with us. An all-powerful God with us all the time. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So he knows all. He cares for me. He is all-powerful. And he's shown himself faithful, right? We've read through God's word. You've seen his faithfulness and story after story. Some of you have learned those stories through all the years you've attended Sunday school. Some of you have taught those stories through Sunday school. And sometimes we forget the power that's in those stories of how God moved and was faithful to these people, ordinary people. We read in Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter of faith, how these were just ordinary people, yet God used them in mighty ways because God was faithful. People like Noah and Abraham and David and Peter and Paul. And I could go into how he was faithful with each of those men, but you know those stories. We don't have time to do that this morning, but remember, he has shown himself faithful. So why can I trust in God? He knows all. He cares for me. He is all powerful. He has shown himself faithful, and he will do that in our lives as well. Let's answer another question. Let's flip that around a little bit. Instead of saying, why can I trust in God? Let's ask, why shouldn't I trust my own ways? Proverbs 3, 7, right? Well, actually, 3, 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Why shouldn't I trust my own ways? Well, I know for myself, and I realize and understand this the older I get, I don't know a lot. God does, I don't. We think of Job. I think of Job and some of what he went through. Job must have been a pretty talented guy. He was successful in the world, right? But then it was taken away from him. And after it was taken away from him in his struggle and so forth, we read deep into the book of Job, the Lord speaks to him. The Lord was speaking to him, and he says in Job 38, he said, who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? I can relate to that. Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? And this, I think, is kind of a sarcastic comment. Surely you know. And it goes on. I love that chapter 38 and 39 where it goes on and it talks about how God laid everything out that we know, all of creation. And he's saying, where were you, Job, when I did that? Job listens to all this, and chapter 42, he replies, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. I don't know any more than Job knew. He probably knew more than me. Look at that verse in Proverbs again. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Or we could go back to verse 5. And lean not on your own understanding. See, my own understanding has blinders on. I see just what's in front of me, if that. Some of you know that for several years before I was camp director at Pine Ridge, I was a civil engineer. And as a civil engineer, I was actually did a lot of project management. So I'd oversee projects that developers had a piece of property and they wanted to develop it, put in roads and houses on it, lots. And I would see that development process from A to Z, okay? And there was a lot of challenges when you're running big projects like that, thousands of dollars that are in play, you know, a developer that's trying to make a profit and all that goes along with that. And we used to have these project manager meetings where we'd give reports on our particular projects. And, of course, there's always the challenges that come with each project. And our owner of the company, he would often talk about climbing the trees to see the forest. And what he meant by that is sometimes we'd get so focused in on the work that was at hand for that day, that time, we would miss seeing the big picture. And so he wanted us to climb the trees to see the forest. But see, we have that problem as people all the time. We are in the forest, and all we see, our view is obscured by the branches and the thorns and the thistles and everything. We don't see clearly all that God sees. We need to trust him in his big plan for us. So again, we're answering the question, why shouldn't I trust my own ways? I know little. Here's a couple other points. I get selfish too. And I care about me first, neglecting others. So why shouldn't I trust my own ways? Because for all of us, I'm talking about myself, but I say that because we are all human, and I think you can relate to me and what I'm saying about myself. We look at me first. We do. Our worlds, without God coming in and giving us a new heart and a new mind, our worlds revolve around me. And that plays into this too. We know based on God's word, it's not all about me. And so when we find ourselves in difficulties and stuff, we need to understand this, it's not all about you. There's others. God sees that. We don't. So I get selfish and care about me first, neglecting others. Also, I've failed. And I'm at the core a sinner, saved by grace. Romans 3 tells us that very clearly. So why shouldn't I trust in my own ways? There's a lot of reasons why. Let's answer the question, how? We'll look at the text here again to help us answer this. It's going to list some benefits and give us a couple examples, I believe, here. One of the benefits we see is verse 8, after it says, do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and shun evil. Here's a benefit. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. And that's a good thing, right? Following the Lord's ways, trusting in him, has benefits. Don't forget that. It'll make life good for us. Now, how we define good? God might see the good different than how we see the good. But there's a benefit to following his ways. I often, if I have a chance to speak or counsel young people, I will tell them, you know what? There is no better place to be in life than right where God wants you to be. Right in the center of his will. No matter how difficult or dangerous or whatever it might be, if you are where God wants you to be, it's the best place for you. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Now, I see two examples here that Solomon, I believe, is writing this in Proverbs here, gives to us. And this goes right to the core of who we are, too. The Bible has a lot to say about money, right? The love of money, not money itself, the love of money is the root of all evil. It says here in verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth. I think this is an example given to us to understand what it's like to trust in the Lord. Because money goes right to the core of trust. It often does. When I made the decision to go full-time at Pine Ridge, I heard through the grapevine, I never had a conversation directly, but I heard that my grandpa didn't like my decision. Because I was leaving a good paying job as a civil engineer to go be a missionary at a camp. I was attempting to follow the Lord, trusting that he would care for my needs. For others, sometimes it can be hard to see that. But honor the Lord with your wealth. goes right to the core of trust with the first fruits of all your crops. But there's a benefit again. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. There is always a benefit to trusting in the Lord and following His ways. Here's another example. Verse 11. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. When we're being disciplined by the Lord, we could look at some verses that talk about that as well. It can be hard to trust Him. It can. But He has our best interest in mind. Remember what we talked about earlier? He cares for me. Remember those verses we read in Matthew about Him knowing even every hair on our head? He cares for you. When He disciplines us, that's an act of love, not of a mean punishment or something. It's an act of love to care for us, to get us on the right path. Do not resent His rebuke. And then here's the benefit again. Because the Lord disciplines those He loves as a father the son He delights in. Trust is something that, it's something maybe we don't talk about a lot, like I've presented. But yet it's something that's presented here. And so foundational to our relationship with God. It's so foundational to any relationship we have. When I think about my relationship with my wife, and for those of you that are married, you know, trust is at the core of that relationship. The more we trust each other, the more our relationship flourishes and grows. When elements of that trust are broken, it causes pain and heartache, frustration. If that's true in our marriages, we know it's true in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Trust is at the core of that relationship. I would just challenge you to continue to live in a way, to make the choice. I made the statement earlier, trust is a choice, and it does have benefits and consequences. The question that we all want to go home with is, will I trust in God today? Will I trust in Him tomorrow when I have a new opportunity or a new challenge or a new difficulty? Will I trust Him in the little things and the big things? That's my challenge to you this morning. Sure is a joy to be with you again, and I would love to share more with you about some of the camp ministry things. Give me a call. I'd love to share that, or come up. We've had a challenge, too, of not having as many volunteers, that the volunteers that we have come to Pine Ridge, it's a cycle. Right now we're on a down cycle. We've had some wonderful people that have helped us through the years. Even some folks from here, greatly appreciated. Right now we're on a down cycle. So what does that mean for a camp director? I found myself mowing the lawn a lot this year. And I haven't had to do that for 10 plus years. Early on when I was a camp director, I mowed the lawn quite a bit. I hadn't done that for a long time. This year, I mowed the lawn a lot. Yesterday, I was scrubbing toilets. You say, well, why would a camp director do that? You do whatever is necessary to get the job done. But we love it, and we thank you for your support. Let's close in prayer. Lord Jesus, just thank you again for this time that we've had together. I pray that your word would challenge us. I pray that it would challenge me, even as I teach on it, that I would learn and grow through looking at these verses in Proverbs. I pray that you would strengthen me today in my weaknesses. I will struggle to trust in you, and I know that's true for others here. So give me the strength to trust in you each and every day. no matter how challenging or difficult that might seem. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you care so deeply and intimately for us. Help us never to forget. In Jesus' name, amen.